the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Tuesday, March 12th, 2019. And we have a new something. I was going to say we have a new timer, but it's not that interesting.
Well, I mean, now I can see what time it is rather than just having to guess based upon what time I said I was going to get here.
Well, I also have a new experience that I've had in my life.
Oh!
Which is I saw a Los Angeles Clippers game last night.
That's right.
That is the first one I've ever seen in my whole life. I've seen, I think, 6 Lakers games.
Okay.
At the Staples Center.
Yeah.
And this was my first Clippers experience.
You gotta let me know. Did it live down to everything I told you it would?
Well, actually, my expectations were very low given what Casey has said about Clippers games. You don't seem to be a huge fan of the Clippers in-game experience.
Not a fan of the way they run their in-game arena experience in past seasons.
So, and you haven't seen one this year?
Have not gone this year yet.
My hunch is that they have... So either they've improved it, because I actually enjoyed myself, but also my expectations were very low. However, it was also Hawaii night.
Okay.
So there was a whole theme to the night.
Nothing goes better with the visiting Boston Celtics than Hawaii night.
Well, the one thing I would say about a Clippers experience is that it's... You can see why they're having trouble getting a fan base going.
Yeah.
And the only way I really think you can solve it is not through marketing, but you just have to... You have to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah.
And then you have to do it again. And you have to do it maybe 5 years out of 8.
Yeah.
And you have to reliably... A sports ticket has to be this thing that you will reliably come away with a good feeling. You know, like most of the time when you go see this event, you're going to go home being like, yeah, I made the right choice. I've put my stock into an organization that succeeds at the thing it's trying to do.
Yes.
That's why, like, I can't imagine how intoxicating it must be to be a Warriors fan seeing home games with the Warriors over the last 4 years.
Yeah, because they've been very good. I mean, this season has been a bit of an anomaly for their home record, but, yeah. You know, they were, you know, 41-1 at home, or 40-2 at home for a couple of seasons. That's out of control.
Yeah, so that's really the only thing that I think will turn the corner for the Clippers. So, because I think it's very difficult. They have a good team this year. They spanked the Celtics last night.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine who is a more of a college sports fan came with me, and he was kind of shocked. In the first quarter, he was like, it's kind of hard to tell who the home team is.
Yes.
Because after every, there were cheers, significant cheers after every play.
Oh, yeah, because Boston travels well. And yeah. There is, I would guess, other than maybe New York, no city that has more people who used to live in Boston than LA.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, of course, it's LA and you want to get out of Boston as soon as possible for weather reasons, for, you know, job reasons, for happiness reasons.
Right. For suppressed racism reasons.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, it's tough to gauge a Clippers home experience based on a Celtics game.
Right, maybe not the best one. However, they were selling Clippers St. Patrick's Day shirts, which I thought was a weird thing to do in your team store, to be selling Clippers shirts with clovers on them. Next week is... We'll probably see him a fair amount of those next Sunday.
Yes, yeah.
Another odd thing was the amount of people that wore Lakers gear to this game.
Welcome to the Clippers.
I thought that was very strange.
You'll see so many people in Lakers jerseys at Clippers games.
Yeah.
Even when they're not playing, even when they're bad, it's just...
Very strange.
More people in LA have Lakers jerseys than Clippers jerseys by probably a 5-1, 10-1 margin somewhere in
between. Oh, you mean in the city?
In the city.
I bet it's 20-1, but it's just weird at a Clippers game. So actually last night I thought that the game was pretty fun. I thought the in-game was fine. It was definitely... refresh me if I'm wrong. Do they shoot t-shirts at Lakers games? I don't remember them doing that.
I can't remember if they do or they don't. I don't believe so.
I don't think they certainly don't trot out a garbage can that has an air cannon in it that shoots like 30 at a time.
And I love how you picked the one thing that I think is objectively awesome. about Clippers games is their t-shirt cannon. A very, very formidable t-shirt cannon.
Yes.
You know, it's just got a big old crank that they crank, and it spins those t-shirts in front of that air cannon, and it pops them out real far, and they fly through the crowd, and it's...
You might have seen a different cannon than the one I saw last night.
Oh, did they have a small one?
Shoots... No, it shoots like 20 at once. And then it has to recharge.
Interesting.
However, this is what I don't like about any of the promotional things that happened. T-shirts and some other things, which was, they gave away like tickets to a certain row or whatever. Everything that they did was for the 100 section.
Yeah.
Like no t-shirt ever made it past the 100 section.
Yeah. You know why? Because they can't guarantee that people are actually going to be in the 300 section.
You know, maybe because it was a Celtics game, it was actually pretty full.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That is true. But on other days,
right,
it's very, very, very lowly. It's not attended well.
Well, so I actually thought, I enjoyed myself enough. First of all, going into the game, I was like, my friend asked me, like, who are we rooting for? And I was kind of like, I don't really know. I kind of don't like either of these teams.
Yeah.
After the game, I was like, I definitely was rooting for the Clippers over the Celtics.
Definitely.
And the fact that there were so many Celtics fans there made me want to root for the Clippers even more.
Yeah. And the Clippers have a lovable team right now.
Yeah.
Right? They're a team of underdogs. They're a team of guys who are trying to prove it. They got Lou Williams, who is just... Everybody loves Lou Williams.
Everyone loves Lou.
Everybody loves
Danilo Gallinari. He had a historic night last night.
Yeah. He is now the all-time leading bench scorer in the NBA.
Yeah. I was rooting for Patrick Beverley last night. That's how much it caught me. But Lou is great.
Wild. Yeah, Lou's great. I really like their young rookie guards.
Yeah.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Landry Shamet, who they traded for in the Tobias Harris deal.
They got Zubats.
Who jury's still out on whether or not Zubats is good, but he's definitely on that team.
So I will say that Clippers, for example, they're playing Memphis Grizzlies on the 31st of March.
Yeah.
You can get a ticket for that for $9.
Yes.
For games like that, maybe not this year, maybe next year, but I think I am going to investigate at least one game next season getting a courtside seat.
Ooh.
Because you can get courtside for that Grizzlies game for $440.
That's pretty good.
Like second or third row courtside behind the player's bench.
Yeah.
Whereas the equivalent Lakers ticket is like $4,000.
Yes. Yeah. The prices on tickets are nowhere near similar between those two teams.
So this is what I will say about this game. I think that I don't think either of these teams is a serious championship contender.
Okay.
I think that... So first of all, I don't really get Doc Rivers' substitutions because Danilo Gallinari started this game. He was the only reason the Clippers were in this game.
Yeah.
He scored like 11 of the first 13 points.
Yes.
By halftime, he had something like 20 or 18 or something like that. And maybe he's on a minutes restriction or something, but they were ahead, but he played 27 minutes in the game.
So
and
you're
went
saying,
away from him for long periods of time.
You're saying Danilo should be the focal point when he's hot like that?
Just something more intentional. The Clippers offense is so many dribble handoffs around the 3-point line.
Yeah.
That it seems like they're running like a high school weave drill. And
I mean, they've got to integrate some guys who are new.
Well, you know,
that's
here,
one of the things. They lost their offensive focal point in their trade this in the middle of the
Harris.
Season. They lost Tobias Harris. And
so this is why I don't perceive them to be much of a threat in the playoffs. Their offense isn't really good enough. If their offense is going to depend on Lou Williams going for 30-plus points, that is not something that's sustainable in the playoffs.
No.
They don't have... anybody except Lou that's a perimeter player that can reliably finish at the rim.
Okay.
Beverly is awful when he goes to the rim.
Oh, Beverly is awful on the offensive end from everywhere except from the 3-point breakdown.
Yeah. So they just were really lost on offense a lot, and they happened to make a bunch of shots last night, but a lot of them, they do a lot of like actions that waste 18 seconds of shot clock and get to a person at the top of the key holding the ball against a single defender that was, you know, the position you started with when you brought the ball over half court.
Correct. They've got no advantage. Could some of that be, you know, attributed to the Celtics being a better than usual defensive team?
No, because they played terrible defense last night.
Great. That's what I wanted to ask. Because like one of the reasons that I think you probably would say the Celtics are not a contender is because you've described the Clippers' offense as dysfunctional and a roundabout way to get nothing.
And they scored 140 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Clippers were making a lot of shots that I don't believe are consistently... I mean, maybe they'll go in a lot, but they like were even hot. Beverly was hitting, you know, Shamit was hitting.
Did they shoot like 55% from the floor?
I actually didn't look at the box score. No, they shot like 60.
Wow.
From the floor.
Then yeah. All right.
However, aside from Lou and Gallinari, Montrezl Harrell had a lot of good energy contributions. He scored like 20.
Yes.
Based on like second chances and stuff like that. But, SGA,
oh,
and Jermichael Green.
Okay,
and do they have Sendarius Thornwell or is that he's Celtic?
They do have Sendarius Thornwell.
A lot of the second tier guys on that team made really bad decisions in the offense, like throwing the ball away in really bad ways.
Yeah.
So I just think that in a playoff situation, their offense is not going to be difficult to shut down. I don't think really Danilo is going to be that difficult to guard if you focus on him. And Lou will probably get 30 in a playoff game. But, I mean, it's not – I don't know. That's not a 30 points that I'm particularly scared of. He's great to watch. It's so much fun. He hits a lot of – he was really taking what the defense gave him, and he's just very skilled at all – so many different kinds of shot making, but the rest of the team just isn't.
Yeah.
So that's what I would be concerned about if I was a Clippers fan. They play with a lot of energy. They have good chemistry. They like playing with each other. Zubats is not, his hands are not that good.
No.
In an area of the court where people are swiping at you constantly, he is not super, he doesn't play as big as he is.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But Montrezl Harrell's great.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they'll be a scrappy team, but they're just not a serious team to worry about.
Right. The teams that they're looking to, you know, face in the first round are anywhere from Denver to Portland to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Right. Those are three contenders in Houston, if things go a little wrong for Houston or maybe a little right. You know, I don't know.
Right.
Like, I don't think they're a threat to any of those teams in a 7-game series, but could they pick off a game or two because they'll get hot shooting one night? They'll play together.
If they can pick off a game like that, if they can shoot like they shot last night, sure.
Yeah.
I will say Landry Shamet's shot needs more arc.
Okay.
So we were sitting at the end row. We were in section 216, by the way.
Great.
Which is very nice. So because of that, when he shoots a corner three, you can see the arc on his shot, and it's very low.
Yeah. Gosh, if only there was another shooting guard who called Staples Center his home and shot very low arc from the 3-point line. That's right. It's Kobe Bryant.
No, Kobe's arc is not as low as Shamit's.
Wow, Shamit's is lower. Kobe's got a real low arc.
If you see it in person, it's just like, it's got a very small window that it has to go into.
Doink.
Jermichael Green's is very high.
Interesting.
Also barely hit the rim both times he took a shot. So, first of all, I don't like sitting at the ends, I realized. I prefer to sit on the sides.
Yeah.
Because it's so far away from you on one end. And on the near side, it's actually difficult to see what's happening sometimes because you're looking through the backboard.
Yes.
It's hard to even see if the ball has gone in sometimes.
It is. It can be tough.
Yeah. I will say this about the tickets. I got when I sat down, I had a brochure on my seat that said, "You have won a free gift. And come see this booth to collect your free gift."
Oh, wow.
And hear about our offer.
Did you subscribe to the LA Times?
I did not. Actually, the LA Times was offering a very nice Clippers hoodie.
Yes.
And actually, my general goodwill of the game, they played very well and they won and all that stuff. Actually, I'm like, I don't think I would mind having some Clippers gear. I might just adopt the Clippers as my second team and not have a Lakers, no Clippers policy.
Interesting. Interesting.
You know, that's what happens when you win it. You're there and they win a game.
Yeah, and you feel good about it.
If you were there 10 times and that happened 10 times, you'd be like, yeah, man, I'm going to sign up for a season ticket.
And it's got to be really nice not to see Austin Rivers' dumb fucking face in the rafters anymore.
I mean, I see it in Doc's face, but...
You know.
So I went to collect my free gift, which is a cheap pair of sunglasses.
Nice.
And they and then they said,
they,
"Do you
they
wanna,
look great on you?
Do you want to put a deposit down on next year's season tickets for the Clippers?"
Ooh.
And she was like, "Do you follow the NBA? Do you know it well? Because you know, you know that this year, this summer, we're going to be trying to land, you know, a pretty big free agent. So we're pretty sure if he comes, then you know the seats are probably going to. And you can lock in this year's prices even before we get that big free agent." And in my head, I was like, who are you talking about that you... I guess they're going to try to get Kawhi.
They're going to try to get Kawhi. They're going to try to get Jimmy Butler. They're going to try to get anybody who wants to come play. It's so funny that salespeople are the same no matter what...
industry.
Industry. Yeah. You know, you talk about in like web development or you know sales for software. And salespeople are always like, hey, I want to sell it to you. Now, we are not done with what we have to do yet, but... you can buy it now.
Yeah.
Get in on the ground floor, man. You got to do this. It's the same thing.
So here's why I wouldn't buy season tickets for the Clippers.
Because you would be in the same realm as Bill Simmons most of the time?
I mean, that doesn't help. By the way, they didn't even do a celebrity cam last night because there were no celebrities.
Yeah.
There, except who's the Michael Rappaport? Developers.
Oh, yeah, Ballmer, and he's there all the time.
So full disclosure, I bought these tickets because my husband I thought was going to be in town. He's not. He's in Australia. So my husband's family is from the New Hampshire, you know, area. So they root for the Patriots and the Celtics and all that. So before the season, my husband, who doesn't care about sports or basketball, I was like, well, he was like, well, I wouldn't mind going to see one game. And he's like, well, you know, are the Celtics going to be in town? Mostly just because I think he grew up. His dad loves the Celtics and stuff. So I bought tickets for this. Because of that, it's one of the more expensive Clippers tickets.
Yes.
In the whole season, and because it was, I don't know, for people that love the NBA, I'm like, let's just do the 300 section. But for someone who's not a big sports fan, I was like, let's get a little closer. So these tickets, because I bought them at the very beginning of the year before the season started, at face value, were $100.
Okay.
So when I found out that he couldn't go because he's traveling doing a show in Australia, my first instinct was, you know what, I'll just sell them. I don't really care about going to this game. Until the time that the game started, there was never a point that on StubHub there were not multiple tickets in the exact same section as the tickets that I had.
Yes.
That were $30 less than face value.
Yep.
Like, I could have walked to the gate of Staples Center, opened up StubHub, and bought tickets for $70 for what I had.
That is correct.
That is not true for a Lakers game.
No.
So there's no reason for me to buy season tickets.
No, because you just pick a game you want to go to and go.
And I could literally do that 41 times, walk up, buy a ticket that's cheaper than what a season ticket package would have been.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not going to be buying
tickets. Then all that money goes to StubHub instead. All right, and StubHub makes that money when you could be supporting your little hometown Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
You could be making a community of fans, you know, in the seat that you share, and you look to your right and your friend has sold his tickets.
The same people every time.
You look to the left and your friends hold his tickets to this game, and you don't know anybody around you because it's always different people in the seats because it's a Clippers game.
But a Lakers game, you'd get to know Jack, who's sitting right next
to you. That's true. I am definitely on the list for front row, courtside Lakers tickets to sit
next
to Jack.
My Lakers waiting list number is around 2,000.
Yeah.
So you know, there's a slim chance I could get on the off of it this next year, but probably not too high.
I mean, if people are mad about the way this season went,
people will drop for sure.
Yeah.
The only thing is they tend to do it after the free agency.
Yeah.
So if they actually miss on all the free agents, there's actually a decent chance I could come off the list.
Yeah.
And you don't come off the list for any particular section. You come off the list for, you're just in the pool of people that can buy tickets, and you can buy, if a courtside one opens up and you can afford it, you can buy it. You can go right to it. Because there's a day where you go to the stadium and walk around, and there's a yellow piece of paper on every seat that's available.
Yeah.
And you walk around and you can try out the seats that you like and stuff.
Do they have the Lakers scrimmaging, or do they have like the G League, the South Bay Lakers scrimmaging?
Just Andre Ingram by himself.
Yes, yeah, just shooting threes, teaching kids math.
And the reason I know that much is because the year before, like Lonzo's, this is Lonzo before last year's. I think people know this, but before Lonzo's rookie year, I did come off the list.
Yep.
And I couldn't afford it. Yeah. So anyway, that's all. So about the Celtics, though, I will say the reason I don't think they're a threat is that they do have problems scoring. I know they didn't have Tatum, but they, I don't know. I wasn't impressed by them in any way.
They're not impressive when they play against any team that is worse than them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? They play to the level of their competition.
Well, this is a problem, I think, for them. They don't seem to have any interior defense that I know of.
Yeah, Al Horford is not the beast he used to be.
Aaron Baines? Daniel?
The numbers are really good on Baines when he plays.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel that way overall. And, you know, when he is not playing, the numbers are terrible.
Yeah. So I don't feel that any... So the Clippers have very few people that can finish at the basket.
Yes.
But people like Lou Williams... did not seem to have any fear of the interior defense of the Celtics. So this is what would worry me, is if I'm in a playoff series against, say, Ben Simmons.
Okay.
Who is stopping Ben Simmons from getting to the rim over and over?
Maybe the three people that they have 15 feet off of him.
Yeah, because he's not shooting a jumper.
Yeah.
I remember that not really working against Rondo either, though.
No, because Rondo would make those shots when he was open enough to make it so that you had to respect him. Ben Simmons isn't doing that yet, so he's still using his athleticism and his ability to get to the rim even through traffic as that.
I also remember there being a theory that the theory was also that it was not helping defend Rondo because you were giving him 4 feet of space to build up momentum.
To start.
And also, like, honestly... Ben Simmons, to me, what I would do is, if I put it this way, if I was playing 2K with Ben Simmons.
Okay. All right.
I would force the issue and just make the refs call fouls.
This has been your if I played 2K.
Because I don't think that, weirdly, last night there were three offensive foul calls in a row. And by that point, the crowd was just like, this game sucks.
So it was like a back and forth and Clippers, back and forth offensive fouls?
Yeah, or like literally
just three straight Celtics ones?
No, three. It was Clippers, Celtics, Clippers. Three offensive fouls in a row that were... They're all kind of bogus and just like put a pall across the entire atmosphere.
Clippers basketball.
Anyway, the Clippers great. We're played very well, and I wouldn't be worried about either one. The Celtics defense is not good enough to... like balance, like I think there might have been a time in Celtics recent history where like the defense is good enough to keep games to 100 ish so that their offense could get there, but like that's not the NBA right now.
Yeah,
like now really you should have 60 points by halftime,
and if you don't,
yeah,
you're a little borked.
Yeah. And Kyrie had a very... It's funny, he had a mediocre game. It was like 18-11, but it was a mediocre game in terms of impact. He can still get to the rim whenever he wants. But I will say it doesn't seem to have a lot of cascading benefits to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
When he has those plays, he either makes a layup or he doesn't.
Yeah.
Or he fires like a bullet pass that I hope you catch it and shoot a jumper by yourself, but it doesn't have that flow where like, oh, I distorted the offense the defense this way, and then it gives you this advantage and this builds to this, you know, those best plays that we love about the Warriors game where it's like, oh, this happened and this happened, and like then the final thing was just a wide open dunk.
Yeah,
that stuff doesn't seem to come off of Kyrie's game in the way that you would want a point guard to do.
I feel you.
So anyway, that's the Clippers versus Celtics.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess that means that we got another Clippers game in our future.
Well, and also was very excited. I was like, oh, this will be fun to go again.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are still on for our Clippers Nets game on St. Patrick's Day.
D-Lo.
Deloading. who's ready. So yeah, just we are going to be buying tickets this week. So just hit us up and we're gonna get there. I think we've got some people confirmed, and we're gonna know, reach out to some more people.
Are we at Rule of Threes Podcast?
Rule of Threes Podcast at gmail.com. Rule of Three S Podcast at gmail.com. You can hit me up on Instagram. Hit us up on Instagram. We're the Rule of Threes Podcast on Instagram. Twitter. You know, we're checking our messages, and we got some messages to send out. So we'll send those out before the podcast gets posted.
Casey, meanwhile, are you caught up on the latest Thunder Jazz controversy?
Ooh, I am caught up on the Thunder Jazz contra. It is very, very spicy.
You know, when I first heard about this,
yeah,
Russell Westbrook got in a fight with a fan who said, get on your knees like you used to. So first of all, I kind of don't like Russell Westbrook. And so I kind of always want him to be on the losing side of these things.
Yeah.
And then when you see his clip about him threatening a fan, it's kind of like, oh, he's an asshole. And then, you know, he's saying there's a racial element to what the fan said. And you never know the way, you know, fans talk. And also fans are very passionate and probably drunk as well. Then you go and look at this guy's Twitter. I don't know if you've seen the fan's former tweets.
I did not get a chance to see what he has to say about race in America.
Well, what kind of person in 2018, 2019, even in anytime after 1969, but where you feel comfortable posting in a public place on Twitter the N-word, which he did, and it was just like in a former tweet, and I was just like, well, yes, then he definitely said something racist to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, it is not good, and I think that you can tell by the way that all the players from that game banded together to support Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
That, like, it was something that wasn't acceptable to them. And, you know, I mean, Russ has been talking about Utah for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Utah has been a place where people have said awful, awful things to him.
Yeah.
That he has taken umbrage towards. And so it's not a fun thing to have to, like, police in the fandom of the league that we love the most, that, like, hey, don't be racist towards the players.
Like, just also, like, why are you even watching this sport?
What reason do you have to be here? Like, I don't understand that, because it's very upsetting.
Like, this modern game that you're watching does not exist without African-American culture contribution.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that I'm excusing it when you watch something like, you know, like, if you're watching, like, EuroLeague soccer, and then they have one African player and that person gets a bunch of racial slurs thrown at them, that's horrible. But it represents this, like, culture change for those people, and they can't handle it, right?
Yeah.
This is not a culture change to have African-American players in the league. Like, no,
it is certainly not. And, I mean, you can also talk about, you know, the demographics of Salt Lake City yourself.
And the demographics of people that can buy tickets in general.
Yes.
Although I will say, the Clippers game, very diverse.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Actually, most LA public events that I've been to, theater, sports, have been very diverse, which makes me very happy.
Great.
But yeah, probably Salt Lake crowd is very white.
It's Salt Lake crowd is white, but Salt Lake City itself is not the white haven it used to be.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I've heard it's a hip, fun town.
It's getting younger. It's getting more diverse. And I think that, you know, you will see maybe the people who have been in money there and have the ability to go to these games and sit courtside are not those people. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing where you don't want to have those people representing the league. You
also, unfortunately, the people that are the closest to the players, I bet at every arena are whiter and wealthier than every fan base in general, just because those courtside seats are ridiculously expensive
and
often linked to corporate,
interests. And here's the other thing. No one from the league, no one from anything is saying that you can't get loud and support your team. No one's saying you can't even boo the other team.
Yeah.
Right. Just, don't be a dickhead about it.
Yeah, that I'm torn about, because if I paid for those tickets, I kind of do want to be a dickhead to them.
Yeah.
Like,
don't.
Well, not, that's the thing is like, I wonder how much just general heckling you're allowed to do when you're behind a bench.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have never been a heckler. It's always made me deeply uncomfortable to heckle.
Yeah.
Because I value the immense skill that goes into these sporting events more than I value my own team's loyalty, right?
Yeah.
I like, if something awesome happens and the opposing team didn't, and I'm really rooting for my team, I'll be sad, but I'll be like, that was awesome. Like, I'd never like heckle somebody for that.
Yeah. However, what if like Chris Paul did a dirty play right in front of you against a player you loved?
I would definitely boo, but that's it.
You wouldn't say that was a dirty play.
I would not. I don't have the right to talk to Chris Paul and be like, "Hey, Chris Paul, you've done a dirty play, my man."
Oh, I would definitely do that.
No, I don't.
And also, I would be like, if I paid $400 for this Clippers ticket to be second row, if I feel like you, I don't think I would say something I don't think I would go out of my way to say something personal.
Yeah.
But I would definitely say something about the play, kind of basketball that you're playing on the court.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like fans have the right to say that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I don't even think that the players are saying that you can't do what you're describing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. They're just, you know, don't make it personal. Don't insult my family. Don't, you know, be a racist dickhead to me.
Well, I also think that it depends on, I think it might also depend on what, like, Patrick Beverley does a lot of showboating after good plays.
Yeah.
However, it's on his home court, so it seems like he's trying to get his own home fans excited.
Yeah.
If he was in a road game and I was courtside and he was jawing, it just depends on what they end up saying. Like, you know, the things where they make a good play, they know their team's going to call a timeout, so they have a moment. Sometimes players will look at the fans in the front row and say and do things. Even Westbrook did it in that same game after he hit a three.
Yeah.
Right? So then it's like, I feel like if you start that conversation with a group of fans like in front of you, that those fans have a, I wouldn't be surprised if those fans feel like they can talk back to that person.
Yeah, and it's just, there's a level of decorum that I guess I'm,
yeah, I think
we can't trust people with anymore. I don't know.
I think that they shouldn't say things that are racist, and I think they generally shouldn't say things about their personal life. But then I can also imagine some very funny things being said, and I kind of excuse all of those.
I don't know.
And also if I can say something that makes somebody miss a free throw and the Lakers win the championship, yeah, I'm going to say that.
You know, it's in the CBA that you get a ring if that happens. If they point to you and go, that guy, he's the one who made Reggie Miller miss that free throw.
Yeah.
And now the Lakers are champions. They put that in the CBA.
If you knew in the computer simulation that we all live in, that you could say something that would cause Klay Thompson to miss a free throw and the Lakers would eliminate them and go on to the finals.
Okay.
And the choices are either Casey says something.
In this computer simulation, did I have control of the roster before the season?
No.
Did I have, like, could I do trade override?
You have one veto? You have one decision tree.
Okay.
Which is your court side.
Got it.
And Klay happens to, like, be standing near you.
Okay.
Before he goes up for, he got fouled, he's on the ground, he's going to take two free throw shots, they're down by one, they need to make both.
Okay. Win. All right.
You can either say nothing, you can boo, or you can say, let's just say, like, you're not as good as your dad.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, one of those things is, like, you're not as good as your dad is demonstrably, like, untrue.
Uh-huh.
He's better than his dad.
Ooh, is he necessarily?
Yes.
Michael Thompson had a very good career.
Yes, he did. And it wasn't anywhere near as good as Klay Thompson.
Ooh, let me look up some numbers while you think about this.
Yeah, I mean, right now, great. Like, but Klay's going to have 10 more years to completely catch up numbers-wise.
It's never a given.
You are correct. That is never a given. You know what? If I was going to say something,
I think you might be underestimating Michael Thompson's career, first of all.
I am not. He does color for the radio. Okay, his career wasn't that great.
I mean, he had one season that he was 21 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists a game.
Great.
Wow. That was his best season.
Wow. And that's like Clay's three best seasons have points higher than that and rebounds that are close. He's a guard instead of a forward.
Oh, no. He doesn't have rebounds anywhere near close to that.
He's got rebounds at like the 5 or the 6.
Mm-mm. His highest rebounds ever was 3.9 this year.
Oh, shit. Well, never mind.
But he scored more points.
Yeah.
But he's nowhere near a rebounding guard like his father.
Okay.
But anyway, he probably will have a better career. But it's just close enough to true that he could think it.
Here's what I would say. If you were forcing me to say something.
No. You one of your options is to say nothing. Yes. But then they he would make both free throws.
I would boo. Okay. But here's what I would say if I could say anything. Uh-huh. Right? If you were forcing me to say something to Klay Thompson, I would be, I hope you miss. Uh-huh. That's it. Right? It's just about the game. I wouldn't say anything about him.
So what if the one about his dad is the only one that will cause him to miss the free throws?
I'm not going to do it.
Well, you put the game over your Lakers fandom. As you said previously.
Yes.
I would definitely say something.
Well, it's a good thing that we got those tickets comped to both of us, so you can take the fall for me.
Yeah, but I also don't think I would get in trouble for saying that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like I don't think I would never say anything racial to one of the players, but like I don't think anything I would say in a heckle would get me in any trouble at all.
That's fair.
I think they would almost all be defensible. Michael Thompson averaged for his career 7.4 rebounds a game.
Okay.
Decent.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what was the other thing? There was also the Draymond thing with Warriors.
Yes.
Again, glad I'm not a Warriors fan.
This is a season where it has felt like for 10 games they've been great, and then they were like mediocre for 10 games, and then great for 10 games, and mediocre for 10
games.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes so much sense that they destroyed the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Because the Nuggets are the pretenders to the crown, and that they fucking threw the game against the Suns. Like, it just makes... That just fits perfectly. I think last week after the podcast, you texted me and you were like, you called this game.
Yes, I did.
Because they lost. Who was that? Was that also the Suns?
They lost to the Celtics by a lot.
Yeah.
By like 30 points at their home court.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing to me is that the Suns are David from the Bible.
I mean, the Suns are the best team in the league because they have
beaten the teams Bucks with twice.
The best record in the
league. Beaten the Lakers. Wow. Crazy. Yeah. They beat the Warriors. The Suns are good, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're demonstrably not, except they are the best team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, if you go by the, like, you know, this team beat this
team. I think the Suns are probably a team that's very annoying to play in the regular season because they're so young and energetic that I feel like a lot of... Actually, one thing I will say, seeing the Clippers Celtics first up, is Doc Rivers took Danilo and Lou Williams out of the game with like 7 minutes left, and you could just feel both teams just be like, whatever, like, let's just move on,
let's phone it in. After the game, Kyrie was like, we just gotta get out of LA, man. I don't want to be here anymore.
I think
insults to LA, but we gotta leave.
I think the Suns are a team that's annoying to play in that regard.
Yeah,
because they're just too bouncy. It's like playing against, like, you know, you're playing a half-court pickup game, and then, you know, 5 junior high school players who are good show up, and they want to play full court. And you're just like, ugh, I guess.
It's like when you're at the arcade, right? And
yeah.
You've been playing against the computer and practicing for a long time as Ryu, and somebody pulls up, never played the game before, goes, oh, Dalzim, I'm going to pick Dalzim. And then they just like spam punch you with your long arms from across the ring. And you're like, I can't get over this. I can't get past this. I mean, my Hadouken is just not on point today.
Yeah.
And they just annoy you with that.
How do you feel about Klay Thompson calling out the home court, the home fans?
It seems like a very unchill Klay thing to do.
Yeah.
I thought Klay was a little more chill than that.
He said basically that the home fans, he expected more energy from them, especially early in the game because, he wanted them. You know, they're probably similarly jaded. A great play happens in the first quarter. They're just like, whatever. Like, let's just get to the fourth where we win.
Yeah.
But I can see that. They are a little not super high energy.
Yeah.
People have also said it's because, similar, we were talking about before, how rich people that go. Like, I think Oracle Arena is also a very Silicon Valley you know, extremely wealthy. What they used to accuse the Lakers crowd of being.
Yeah.
A crowd that shows up like halfway through the first quarter, leaves halfway through the fourth, that it's very lackadaisical. I feel like Lakers games that I've been to since the Lakers have been like kind of scrappy and not super successful.
Yeah.
Have been more like getting behind the team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I mean, the last Lakers game I went to was the one we went to together where it was just so exciting the whole time.
The triumphant win. I am still not totally, I still think the Warriors are the best team in the league and that they'll still win. And mostly I still think that because I think that they have, I think I've said this before, I think they have the most A, B, C, and D plans of how to score.
Okay.
However, there's always a time for every team in the league when they think they can put it together. When they're not.
Yeah.
They just like, because I think Katie, like, I don't think it's a serious injury, but he injured his ankle.
Yes.
And when he was leaving, apparently he shouted, like, we have to play championship level basketball. And I'm sure that they all think they know how to do that.
Yeah.
And that they just have to make a couple of adjustments. But that's not always true. There's always a time when you think you can do that and it doesn't happen.
And you try to kick it into that gear and your car stalls.
Yes. The thing that I'm worried about this year is I don't want it to be... I just don't want Houston to win. So,
I mean, you know who the hottest team in the league has been over the past, you know, 10 games or so?
Houston. Yeah. So I hope that that doesn't happen. I am not super worried because there's a long history of players on the Houston Rockets not doing great in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I hope that continues to be true.
There's no Trevor Ariza on the team this year to brick 15 three-pointers in a row.
That's true.
You know, they just converted Daniel House to a full contract.
Yeah.
Tillman Fertitta took his wallet out and decided, we're going to get in the repeater tax and stay there.
Yikes.
So,
they're going to be paying.
He was trying to avoid it this year.
I mean, they just need to get used to paying a lot of money because they're about to pay so much money.
Yes. So much money. Well, I mean, when Chris Paul is getting paid $40 million to go live in a retirement home with his characters from his,
Oscar Nunez,
then we'll see what their repeater tax looks like.
It's kind of funny how State Farm picked, I would argue, two of the least likable superstars in the league to be their spokespeople.
I feel like anybody who doesn't know basketball has no reason not to like Chris Paul.
I think people that don't know basketball don't know who either of them really are.
Yeah.
And I don't think either of them has any natural on-camera charisma or it's not like they have, you know, I don't know, who someone charismatic.
Mo Spates.
It's not like they have Joel Embiid in there. Yeah. You know?
Joel Embiid's too busy
and people who
repping Sprite.
People who do know basketball, you know, the main thing they have going for them is that the Rockets and State Farm are both red.
Yes. And that is definitely what's going to be continuing in the future.
Yeah. So I don't know how you've did you watch any games or any other thoughts?
I watched some highlights this week. It was a busy week for me myself, but I did want to talk about the number one punch misser in the entire league, Mr. Serge Ibaka.
Okay, because also Marquez Chris missed some punches in there too.
Everybody misses punches, but nobody misses punches like Serge Ibaka. That was wild.
I was watching some more of that today, I don't know. I love fights, but yeah, I'm amazed by how many punches don't land in the NBA.
Yeah.
And do you think the suspensions, they would probably be worse if they did?
Yes, definitely worse if they landed. And I think they were worse for Serge Ibaka because he's done this before.
Right.
Like, this is a thing that he does, is he'll, like, rage attack somebody and then, you know, get off and
who was ejected. The other one? There was one this year, wasn't there?
I don't remember if it was this year or if it was last year. But, I mean, the man knows how to throw a punch. He may not know how to land one.
I think that this particular one was fueled by, my guess is that he viewed Marquez Chris as being a young person that should not talk to him at all.
I think that a little bit, yes, but also, you know, the people get mad the most when they fear they're going to get injured or like somebody did something that was careless enough to get
injured. What was it though? Like I watched it and it was like,
he was just like behind him when he was jumping. right? And he was jumping backwards and he didn't like get out of the way or jump with him, or he was just there when he landed. He was underneath him when he landed.
Chris was?
Chris was.
I thought Ibaka was kind of behind him. I watched that play.
Or did I have it backwards? Ibaka the one in the back?
Ibaka's the one in the back.
Okay.
Then, and he sort of pushed off from Chris. Apparently Chris went, so Ibaka fell on the ground.
Yes.
Chris turned around and apparently said, don't do that shit anymore. That was tweeted. And you can see him kind of talking, whatever it is, he talked to him while Ibaka was on the ground.
Yeah.
And I think that it was that moment that was just like, you are a young player with no accomplishments in this league. I mean, you're no Colin Sexton.
That's true.
Who scored 28 points. Oh, and apparently does know how to play basketball.
And he's vacillated.
But he can occasionally play basketball.
Yes.
So I feel, just watching that play, it's Ibaka sitting on the ground and Marquez like talking to him, and it seems very much like you're a rookie, or you know, you're not a rookie, but was he second year?
He's a fourth year player.
Wait, is he really?
I think. Oh my god, I thought he was a third or a fourth year player.
He seems new to the league still and doesn't have the standing to like talk to a veteran like
Ibaka. Oh, I mean, he's just bad.
He's also bad. I had no idea it was 4 years.
It was either three or four. This is either his third or fourth year.
This is his third year. It's hard to read.
This is his third year.
It's hard to read on this because he's been on three teams in 3 years.
It's his third year, and he got his fourth year option declined by the Suns. That's why. Because he was the number four pick.
Not a good sign when you've been on three teams in 3 years.
The number... eighth pick, not fourth pick.
Is that lottery?
Yes. That is lottery goes all the way up to 14.
Meanwhile, Lakers have shut down Ball, Ingram.
Ball, Ingram. Kuzma's back.
But have they sort of shut down LeBron?
They are not shutting him down. They're turning his minutes down. The LeBron faucet is slowly coming to a close.
Yeah.
What did you think about the Luke Walton gets a new job spin coming out of
his camp this week?
It was Luke Walton wanted to sign Randall and Lopez instead of the people that we did sign.
Uh-huh.
Very easily sussed out who planted that story and why they wanted that to be there. But Luke's camp kind of has to be like, well, we got to find another job because we aren't going to have one next year.
I think this whole LeBron era will sort of turn into like Jordan Wizards era, where I don't think that the team will. I mean, okay, if they somehow get Anthony Davis or Kawhi this season, free off season, I don't think even getting Jimmy Butler would like make them a serious.
What about trading for Mike Conley?
What about trading for Mike Muscala?
We did that already, and it worked.
Yeah.
The Lakers are in the playoffs, baby.
I think that my sadly, this is what I think will happen, is I don't think the Lakers are going to genuinely contend for a ring while LeBron is here.
Okay.
Well,
that means that, because it's a long contract, that the Lakers will genuinely contend as soon as that contract is over, right?
Yeah. I don't think for the next 4 years that they will seriously contend, because I don't think that he can bring on the court enough to justify all the other BS.
Okay.
And I think what's kind of ironic and it's kind of amusing to me right now is the amount of people that are now suddenly souring on LeBron's game
when it's exactly the same as it was.
They are saying exactly the same things that I have been saying for like literally 7 years about his game.
Yeah.
Except now that he's on the Lakers and a lot of people don't like the Lakers, the guns are out to be like, look at him. He doesn't play defense. He stunts the growth of younger players.
Yeah.
He just gets his cronies into a game. He's not good for the locker room.
He dances to whatever song you play in the background. It's crazy.
It's like, I think that these are all demonstrably things that he's shown throughout most of his career. Yeah. So I think it's kind of funny. It's very sad if we've previously recommended not caring that much about this Lakers season.
Yes, that was our recommendation at the beginning of the year. Chris followed through the whole year.
Yeah.
I got suckered in because I'm a sap.
And if you do care about it, then this must be very distressing in general. Because this week is particular. It's just crazy to me how much Lakers drama there is when it's like all the pieces of this drama have been in place since the summer, you know. I don't think signing Randall and Lopez would have turned this team into a contender either. Like, you know, I think they're just, they probably need one more amazing player. I don't know what to say about the defense. The defense is horrible right now.
I mean, it's been bad ever since Lonzo went down, which is like, not, you can't entirely like go like, oh, it's all Lonzo on the defense, but it's just like,
no,
everybody just stopped giving a shit.
So last year the defense was very good. It was a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
This year, until Lonzo went out, it was still a good defense.
Yeah.
I think that it's a combination of, I do think Lonzo kind of free safeties covers a lot of patches.
Yeah.
I also think he gets players who are not great natural defenders to play with a little more energy than they normally do. So I wouldn't be surprised if players like Hart and Kuzma, and also basically his contemporaries.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they all play 10% better defense when he's on the court with them, or even just in the game with them. He's injured. He's not really in the mix of the culture.
Yep.
So who's dominating Lakers culture right now?
LeBron and
the laziest Kuzma. Defender in the world, and Kuzma, who's not naturally not a great defender.
Yes. Not lazy. Tries.
Not lazy.
Just not good yet.
Kuzma and even Kuzma and Hart, I would say they have so much energy that it almost works against them sometimes on defense.
Oh, yeah.
But LeBron is not that. LeBron is genuinely lazy on defense and does not fulfill his assignments on defense.
Yeah.
So I can't think of how that would have a good effect on team defense.
No, it has a bad effect.
It's bad. Because either people are scrambling to cover for you or people are literally pushing you into position.
Yeah, a lot of pointing. I mean, this Lakers team points after baskets all the time.
And also, there's a lot of LeBron not helping on someone who's penetrated to the lane. Like, actually, was it last year when they would just let Durant dunk the ball in the finals?
Yes.
Okay, there's a lot of plays like that in the Lakers defensive game plan this year, where a player will just get to the rim.
Your air quotes around defensive game plan were so visible to me, even though you didn't even move your hands.
Where LeBron is the person supposed to help on that penetration, doesn't, and then points and yells at the person that got...
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey, stay in front of your guy!
Well, also, sometimes it's not that they didn't stay in front of them. Sometimes it's they got picked off of the person.
Yeah.
So, and you're the next help defender. So, I remember that final series, I was like, what are they doing here? There's a 100% chance that Kevin Durant is going to dunk the ball if you let him to the rim. I know there's a decent chance that they'll hit a three-pointer if you help, but it's weird. It's a weird defensive game plan.
Yes.
So anyway, there's a lot of that this year, and Coach Nick has a great b-ball breakdown about LeBron's defense, which is just embarrassing. And I think one of the things that shows you the bloom is kind of off the rose with LeBron is other teams are exploiting him on defense.
Yeah.
They are going at him. They are like going to the matchup. They're putting him in pick and rolls because he doesn't cover pick and rolls very well.
Should I get my Los Angeles Lakers 23 the Matador jersey for next year?
Los Matadores?
I mean,
for Spanish night?
For Los Lakers, absolutely.
The other thing I would say is that the play where Kyle Kuzma pushed LeBron to cover that three-point shot in a close game against the Nuggets, maybe? Okay. You know what the highlight
is. Yes, I remember.
I think that to me, it's. I think this is what kind of shows that the what do you call it? The aura around LeBron is not what it used to be. I think that should have been a huge bit of drama.
Yeah,
that like a young player did that to a veteran, kind of showing him up in a huge game, in a very prominent moment in the game, kind of embarrassing you to be like you're not playing defense right, and because I'm just saying, imagine if somebody had like Mark Madsen had done that to Kobe, had pushed Kobe to like do a closeout. I don't think Kobe would have sat well with that.
No. Yeah, but also I feel like Kobe would have been like, he would have admitted it and then he would have tried to not do it again.
First of all, I don't think Kobe ever would have done that. But yes, I also think Kobe might have been like, you know what? Good job. Like, If you don't see me in the right spot, it would have just been like, something.
I needed that kick in the ass.
Yeah, you know? It would have been something. And it actually was nothing. Like, it wasn't in the Lakers, like, sort of narrative timeline.
Yeah.
Whereas all this other stuff has been about, you know, quotes about, I don't know. I actually get tired of reading the tea leaves of like quotes and stuff.
Yeah.
I think, I would, if I was a team hiring, I would have no idea what to think about Luke Walton as a coach.
Yeah.
Well, that's a case where I'm glad that I'm not a owner of a basketball team trying to hire a coach. First of all, to hire a president of basketball operations or a GM or something like that. How much would we really know about like who's good at that job or not? And then to try to hire a coach based on what you're seeing from them on the sidelines and their record.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Luke had that amazing interim coaching record with the Warriors, and I'm sure that bolstered his chances for getting hired across the league.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to be now.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish him luck because it's basically a foregone conclusion that he is out of here.
Yeah. I do think it's a time. And for the Lakers' sake, I hope that the Lakers get,
they'll get a good coach. I can't wait for Mark Madsen to be the coach of the Lakers next season.
Because they're going to stay in the family.
Oh, yeah, you got to. Somebody who Magic loves. Magic loves Mark Madsen.
Jamal Wilkes?
Michael Thompson?
Where's Kurt Rambis coaching right now? He's an assistant somewhere?
I think he's in the Lakers organization.
Oh, boy. The Lakers do feel a little bit like the Oakland A's at the beginning of Moneyball, where Brad Pitt is just yelling at them to like not just use old talent evaluation things. Like, okay. You know, oh, he's just, well, you know, he's got an ugly girlfriend.
Got it. Okay. I was wondering where the connection was. And I was like, okay, because the Lakers have a lot more money.
Oh, yes. That's true. So who would they be like? People are always saying the Lakers are like the Yankees.
Yeah.
And they, in that sense, the only problem is that they're in a different league where they can't just buy whoever they want.
No. But they'll sure as hell try to.
Yeah. I'm so excited for this regular season to end and for the playoffs to start.
Yeah. I mean, I think the playoffs are going to be killer. And I think that this last month is going to be a bit of a slog.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I do love the Lakers. And this is what I would love if I put it this way. Okay. In this computer simulation that we live in.
Yes.
You are courtside.
Beep, boop, beep, boop.
Lakers, Thunder, last game of the year.
Okay.
Now, don't ask me how this connection is made, but this is part of the simulation.
Okay.
You can say something not racist, but something to Westbrook on the side of the court. Something about, you know, the two best players in the league. When people leave you, they become MVP or something like that.
Yeah, yes.
Or maybe something a little more personal. Or you can boo.
Okay.
If you boo, the Lakers lose the game, nothing happens, Thunder go to the playoffs, Lakers get the 12th pick in the draft.
Yes.
In this computer simulation, if you say something personal to Westbrook,
yeah,
all that happens,
yeah,
except the Lakers get the number one pick and they get Zion.
Okay, all right. Check this out. What I would say to Russell Westbrook is, 2004, 2005, all Bay League spelled your name wrong on the sheet where you were acknowledged as the MVP. So take that.
And then the computer simulation would bust.
Yeah. Yes.
It'd just be like unanticipated input.
Yeah. I have my only piece of only sort of relevant Russell Westbrook.
What I am looking forward to is this summer when the Lakers enter the lottery, win it, and get Zion, and the amount of people that are going to say it's rigged.
Hey, it's not rigged. They changed it so that everyone could have a shot. Okay.
Yeah. Wait. Are the odds the modified odds this year?
The modified odds.
So the being like 12th or 13th in the list isn't as bad as it used to be.
Correct.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's like they're at, you know, out of the 16 teams, they're probably trying to get to like 8 or 9.
Yeah,
give them a 20% chance of a top four pick.
Oh, good Lord! And also the top 3 or 4 is good.
That's what people are saying.
Also,
I don't know.
Well, because I mean, at the very least, you know that the last, like 1 year ago, the number one pick was going to be RJ Barrett.
Yes.
And so at the very least, you know, he's around.
He's around.
You know,
people like Ja Morant is a name I've heard.
Ja Morant is the number 2 predicted pick right now.
Yeah, there are college basketball players.
And the other thing you know is that people are always wrong about who's the best in these drafts.
Yes.
Every single year.
Which is why I don't pay attention to it.
These supposed experts, who all come to a pretty much a consensus as to the ranking of the players, within 18 months, they're always wrong.
I'm so excited to, like, part of my fun thing that about, like, not following college basketball is that I don't ever have to hear Jay Billis speak. Oh, such a treat in my life.
I mean, think of all the people you don't have to listen to. Jay Billis. Dick Mata. Bill Raftery. It's amazing.
I love it.
And all when you follow the NBA, you just have to listen to players only.
Okay, well, that might be just
Not a good choice. Casey, what comedy shows do you have this week?
What do I have going on this week? I got no shows this week.
Week off.
Yeah, I got a little week off. Now, 2 weeks from now, or sorry, not this Thursday, but the Thursday after, we're doing a benefit show at Logan Everett's Yearbook. We're doing a benefit show to fund a diversity and inclusion symposium that a friend of mine is putting on.
Cool.
So we're opening up the floodgates. Come on through, donate some money, and we'll get this symposium on its feet.
Nice. This Thursday at UCB, I have a magic to do. Oh, wait. Yes, I do this week. This week, the date is, what's the date of that night? The 14th? Yes, I do have that show.
Very nice.
The only reason I'm thinking about it is on the next Thursday, I'm going to a magic seminar.
Hell yes.
Friday at 7:30, Baby Wants Candy. That's what I have this week. Come see it.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to another podcast I was on this week.
Yes.
So gracious to have had me on their podcast, the Tender Friends podcast. It's a chicken tender review podcast. Got to get on there, plug the old rule of threes, eat some delicious, eat some okay chicken tenders at Chili's, and then joke and laugh about all of the wonderful brutalist decor that they have at the Chili's.
Did you record it in the Chili's?
No, we did not. We ate and had the server very confused as to why four grown men were sitting in a booth ordering only chicken tenders.
Uh-huh.
And then we went back to their place and recorded the podcast.
Sounds amazing.
It was great.
And that's called Tender Friends.
Tender Friends, yeah. Check it out.
Check it out. And we will see you next week after we have seen the Los Angeles Clippers. Rule of Threes podcast at gmail.com if you want to get in on that game.
Absolutely. Let us know. And if not, we'll see you on the other side of the simulation.
It's the Rule of Threes podcast. The Rule of Threes podcast. It's the Rule of Threes podcast. With Chris and Casey.